Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers, sisters, and friends. Welcome to another episode of the LDM show. So, we're here with brother Imran ibn Mansur today, bro. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum.
How are you? You good?
Alhamdulillah, very good, thank you, bro.
Finally, Imran show, bro. After like a year or something. So, bro, let's get right into the topic, inshallah.
Inshallah.
What we want to discuss today is a claim made by Hitchens, right? He basically, out of many of the silly claims that he made, one was that God must be a monoglot, right? God. Why did he reveal the Quran in the Arabic language? Does he only speak one language, being God? So let's address this point, break it down, inshallah.
Okay, right. So, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulullah wa ba'd. This is a question that, to some extent, I can appreciate why some people may think it's valid, because they say if the Quran is a universal, you know, book of guidance, a scripture from God for all of mankind, then it doesn't seem very universal in terms of the language. Well, let me address, and try and address, two reasons upon reflection why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have chosen to reveal the Quran in Arabic. When you look at the language of Arabic itself, you have to, when you look at its structure, right, the Arabic language prides itself on exactness.
Okay.
Now, we know that language can be very ambiguous, right? So when you want to make a point, sometimes different inferences can be made based on what the person is trying to say. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to get a point across to us, He wants to speak to us in a way that is most exact, where He can communicate the point that He's trying to make in the most effective and efficient way, right? Now, if you look at science, science chose to not use language as its primary language, right? I mean, language in terms of how we're speaking, right? Rather, the primary language that science chose to kind of adopt and communicate in is that of mathematics, because mathematics provides you more of an accurate, more of an exact understanding of what the point is. For example, if you take the term Big Bang, if I ask you what does it mean, you know what it means. I know you know what it means, but generally speaking, if you ask a Joe Blogs on the streets what is the Big Bang, they're going to tell you it was this massive explosion at the beginning of the universe. But the reality is it wasn't a massive explosion. If you look at the mathematical equation with regards to the Big Bang or the beginning of the universe, you find and you're able to understand and appreciate what this event it actually is, or what we try to infer to the best understanding based on induction what this event actually was. However, the language can be a bit misleading, so that's why science tries to speak in a mathematical form. Now, when you look at the Arabic language and you go to its inexhaustible root structures, right, and you look at the semantic fields that can be formed from that, you find that the Arabic language is exact. In fact, many linguists are many orientalists, many linguists from the West have actually made statements about the Arabic language, referring to it as something that's very mathematical, very algebraic in nature. And I'll give you an example, right? If you take the word nafs, for example, nafs meaning person, soul, individual, or, you know, my conscious, my individual conscious entity. If you go to its root words, right, either nufisa or nafisa, one of them has to do with something being very precious, and the other thing has to do with something being very niggardly, something being very selfish, very kind of greedy, yeah? So the way that this operates is that when you go to the root word of the word, you get to find out something about the nature of what this word is. You get a more of an exact, precise meaning, because the word, it morphs from a root word into what it is. And then when you go to the root word and you look at the way that the word changes, the different forms of the word or the verb or the noun, then you start to understand a bit more about what the point is trying to develop into. So right at the root of the word, you're starting to understand something about the fundamental understanding about the nature of the nafs, the nature of the human being, that it's very niggardly, that the human being is very selfish. And the next base is nafasa, right? Nafasa means to basically release someone's difficulty, someone who is, you know, to tanfis, as Allah subhanahu, the Prophet says that anyone who does tanfis for his brother makes a difficulty easy, then Allah will tanfis for this person on the Day of Judgment, make his or her difficulty easy. Do you see what I'm saying? And then the next base is nafasa. Nafasa means to compete, right? So we know that human beings, that we take care of each other, we ease each other's difficulties in order to survive. If we didn't, then we as a race wouldn't be able to...
That's just one word, bro.
Do you see what I'm saying, right?
And the depth of that particular
exactly,
word.
Exactly. So this, you know, without going into too much depth, because I know, you know, this is not the place, just to give people an understanding. For this reason, many orientalists, many linguists have basically made the comment to say that the Arabic language has an artificiality about it.
Sure.
Right? The way that it's structured, it's not arbitrary. It's not like how most languages are developed. For example, in English, when you look at a word, when they want to find out how to pronounce a word or how to say a word or how to develop a new word, they would ask, how did the Celts say this? How did the Germans say it? How did the Latin speaking people say it? How did the Greeks say it? You see what I'm saying? And you can see there's no kind of smooth flow of these words and how the meaning changes. But in the Arabic language, it seems like there's an intelligent design within the language. Right. And again, Allah says in the Quran, "Allamahu al-bayan," that He taught speech, He taught language. Right. That's what I'm saying. So that's just one example. Yeah. The other reason, and you know, just a comment on this, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he answered this question, and he basically summarized all what I've explained in one statement. He said that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to speak the Qur'an, or reveal the Qur'an in the Arabic language, is because that is the only language that could accommodate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to say in the best of ways. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? And we can see this just from the element of exactness. Do you see what I'm saying? And then just another reason, without going into it, Allah says in the Qur'an that we reveal this Qur'an so that you may understand, so that you may reflect. Mm-hmm. And we find that when you look at these semantic fields that come out of the root words, you can actually reflect upon the word and find out a deeper understanding of what it is. So not only do you get an exactness, but it forces you to kind of reflect and just really try to get into a deeper understanding of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say. And there's many other reasons. This is just a few.
But I think that highlights the point that it's the most comprehensive language.
Yeah.
In a way, we could say the best language to express yourself.
Absolutely.
And if this is the case, then God obviously naturally would use the best language to express His message to humankind. Absolutely. And that makes sense. I guess another way we could look at it is we'd have to explain it. God is God, human beings are human beings, right? If He chooses to use Arabic, He chooses to use Arabic. Exactly. Just because we don't understand the wisdom behind it, doesn't mean there's no wisdom there.
Yeah.
Right? So, JazakAllah, bro. Anyway,
no, barakallah.
May Allah bless you for that.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.